join us. Come on now. There we go. Well, now, this is a light of mine. Yeah, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, now, this is a light of mine. Yeah, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, now, this is a light of mine. Yeah, I'm gonna let it shine. Every day, 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 every day. Gonna let my little light shine. Jesus gave me life, I'm gonna let it shine. Well now, Jesus gave me life, and I'm gonna let it shine. Well now, Jesus gave me life, I'm gonna let it shine. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, I'm gonna let my little light.
Now, go find the others.com.
Self-sacrifice is the law of our age.
Self-sacrifice? But it is precisely the self that cannot and must not be sacrificed. A man's self is his spirit. It is the unsacrificed self that we must respect in man above all.
The 2014 KKFI Band Auction, April 10th through April 28th, is our biggest ever with over 120 bands and solo acts, including David Bassey, Wild Women of Kansas City, Danny Cox, Fast Johnny Ricker, Last Free Exit, and many more. Complete schedule at kkfi.org. Want to make sure you don't miss out on your favorite band? Email us a pre-auction bid at earlybird@kkfi.org or call 888-931-0901.
This is Scott.
And this is Pat, and you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Your station for Bad Fish and Scotty Doe.
Keep us sublime alive!
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you, man.
All right, Kansas City. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Time for the final hour of the Paragon Radio Show. So cue it up, dial us up at 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. And we will have ourselves a conversation here in just a few moments after this saxophone.
Today we're going to create a mashup.
Oh,
I usually go ahead and let that play out, but the phones are hopping, as they say, so I'm going to go ahead and get some of you folks an opportunity to sound off for dialing 816-931-5534. You get to be on the radio. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
This is Brother Love. Is this Benjamin?
Brother Love? No, this is not Benjamin. Benjamin has left the building or is leaving the building.
Okay.
But we'll get
I want to say something.
Yes, sir.
Without being cut off, interrupted, or them turning down the volume. That's a problem that I have with Benjamin when he does that. And this is the reason why I don't stop speaking. See, because this show is supposed to be for critical thinkers. You see, if you reinforce the, let me see. How did he say that? He said, all you're doing is reinforcing the, let me see. Mumia told said that. And I was trying to remember that. Let's see.
So you got to turn your radio down, Brother
Love. You reinforce the collective ignorance of the social media, which can be the dead horse back to life. Do you hear me? When you are not a critical thinker, when you are too far right or too far left, you hear me? Everybody believes in freedom of speech until they hear something they don't like.
Right.
Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. You hear me? Political prisoner. Locked up in the belly of the beast for the last 29 years. On death row. That's what I'm saying. All you do is reinforce. You hear me? This negative stereotypes, man.
Who is? I don't understand.
When you don't listen.
Can you turn the radio down? Because you got
to
listen, my friend.
This show used to be really interesting to me.
All right. I'm trying to keep you on the air, but Brother Love.
I've been listening to the show for 20 years.
Can you turn your radio down, sir? Because there's a big warble whenever you speak. And I'm trying to give you the air, but it's screeching
okay.
in my ears.
But like I said, man, when you just reinforce these negative stereotypes.
Which negative stereotype?
Listen. You know, nobody else can say anything. It's just your way or the damn highway. It's just a show, man. I mean, really, man.
I don't think we don't give you time to speak, Brother Love. I'm sorry.
I think he believes in freedom of speech until he hears something he doesn't like.
Well, was there something else you had to say?
Too far right or too far left, but not a critical thinker. You don't, that means you don't have to do your homework.
Okay. All right, sir. Let me let some other folks get in with that, or did you have something else you want to say? I don't want to just... And please turn your radio off when you make the phone call. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
My paper just got delivered.
Okay.
And it is a major expose on the... assassinations in Overland Park.
At the Jewish Community Center?
Yes, yes. And so I could get up and read them now, but I don't think that would be cost prohibitive. I mean, I don't think it would be good bang for the buck on the radio. But there is a significant... There's a full page or two on this Jewish community center, and it's disturbing. Apparently, I heard it in another report earlier tonight. He was immediately in Aurora, but he had been real recently in the southeast. In various places, and I'm not exactly sure where that was.
So he had moved around a little bit in his living and whatnot.
Kind of a vagabond.
Right.
But I was going to say, Heck, I don't know what I was going to say. Brother Love got me all discombobulated.
Uh-oh.
We love you, Brother Love.
Brother Love is a very, very important addition to this show, in my opinion. I think all of the callers are.
I know. We love him. But I was going to tell you about the huge articles in the Star on the in the Monday Morning Star on the Jewish Community Center and Shalom Retirement Community.
Right.
I was going to say something else of preeminent importance. Just probably a few hours ago, I got a hot release from the CLG, the Citizens for Legitimate Government, and the Russians have stated that they have concrete evidence that the Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, I think it's 370,
right,
is landed in all the passengers are safe, but they are taken as hostages.
In the Ukraine?
No. In Afghanistan. And there was some question whether the bartering or the deal making was going to be with the Chinese government or the U.S. government.
Huh. But that, I don't know how the U.S. government would get involved in it. I mean,
well,
it was mostly Chinese people on the.
They've got three citizens on the airline.
Right, but it's a lot more Chinese. But we have someone else who's joined the conversation here with us. Good morning. You're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Hold on.
Oh, this phone is not cooperating with me tonight. Hey, is it Dave?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I let you go, my friend?
No problem.
All right. You have a good one, sir.
Peace.
All righty. All right. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Hey, Mike. This is Andy.
Hey, Andy. How goes it?
It goes all right. I kind of wanted to maybe switch topics a little bit and bring up something that I was listening to the other day and been introduced to Dan Carlin and his Common Sense Show and Hardcore History and brought up something I think that's kind of a main issue for a lot of things that people are talking about these days, and that is that we have a structure, our society, and the way that we do things now, we're trying to make past ideas and thoughts work in today's society, which isn't working very well.
Right.
And so I just wanted to get some, you know, because we are going to have to change, but the thing is that people are scared of change.
Right.
They don't like to change. It makes them uncomfortable.
Right.
But we're going to have to do something drastic. I mean, this goes into our education system, this goes into our politics, this goes into religion, it goes into a lot of different aspects of our lives, and we're not doing anything different. We keep doing the same thing and getting the same results, and it's not working anymore. So, you know, and I don't have any answers. I don't even have any thoughts. There's a lot of different ways to look at, you know, you can look at any different topic, but
right.
We need to... With our education system, we aren't, you know, is a college education even necessary anymore? There's a lot of question about that. You know, we need skills, we need trades. And I just, you know, it's frustrating because we have a great society and we have wonderful people, but we seem to be messing everything up. I don't know if that's kind of the way we operate just in general, or if we're just trying to figure out how far we can push things, if we're like a two-year-old, see how far we can push our economic system and how far we can push our politics one way or the other until we get some sort of result back, and the result is always a negative. So I guess maybe I'm asking you or maybe I'm asking your audience exactly what it is that we can do. You know, we're going to have to make some big steps and we're going to have to do something different.
Right. I tend to agree with that. And I think that that's kind of where I'm always trying to meld what people are saying together, because I think that's ultimately where we're going to have to go, is, you know, an inclusion of other people's views and a melding of them. But like earlier this evening when we were talking with Ben and I believe his name was Rick, and we were talking about, you know, how much needs to change. I think he was absolutely right, the caller.
Yeah, he was very well informed. I liked what he said, and I liked how he said it also.
Right. That we have to change so much. I mean, we've got to change how white people view things, but we also have to change how black people view themselves and how people in whether it's in poverty or, like you were talking about, whether or not we need college education, what's the value of a college education, and what, you know, what are these hoops or benchmarks that we put out there that kind of decide the haves and the have-nots, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you, and I think that it's you know, it's scary and it's frustrating, and I do have to thank you for making me a more informed person, and you know, again, I'll go back to Dan Carlin. I was listening to one of his Common Sense shows, and he was talking about the decision that the Supreme Court made, and the actual statement from the Supreme Court justice, and it came from him as far as their decision is concerned regarding political financing of politicians, essentially, and what his thoughts were and why they chose to do what they did in that case. And there's a Supreme Court justice stepping outside of his boundaries as far as what his actual job is and why they decided what they did. And it was infuriating to me to listen to that.
Are you talking about Justice Thomas saying that, you know, I think we should have gone even further?
He was saying that politicians should be allowed as much money as they need in order to get themselves into office.
Yeah.
But his reasoning behind it was not valid. It wasn't his job. His job is to decide whether or not constitutionally that is something that, you know, they can make the decision on. And it had nothing to do with that. It was biased. It was, and the reasoning behind going ahead and allowing politicians the amount, you know, whatever they could get as far as contributions are concerned, it just creates more of a problem in the system. But for the Supreme Court justice to step outside of his boundaries like that was also just infuriating to me, because that's not how our system is supposed to work. The reason why our system is broken is because it's not being used properly. People are doing things that they shouldn't be doing within their role.
And this is a big part back to what, you know, where Ben and I were talking about, you know, and maybe because I just feel like it's oversimplifying it to say that government is the problem. It's like you just said, people aren't using things the right way.
Right.
And we need to address that. If we come, you know, if we address that, now I'm sure that that will open the door.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm sure that opens the door to you know, bash Obama and say, well, then, you know, shouldn't he be impeached for misusing something or other? Okay, but the larger point remains that so across the board, things are being misused that it is ultimately, you know, the people who have to be better.
Exactly. I think Rick, the caller earlier, said it the best. You know, we blame our government, but we the people are the government. I thought that was very eloquent. I think that was a very good way of stating it. We are the government in this society, and we are not doing our job to enforce the rules that are set up for us. It's all there. I mean, yeah, you can create a loophole somewhere. I mean, and then listening to the suicide earlier about the tax, you know, we have this huge issue about raising taxes, but look at all of that money, trillions of dollars that corporations and huge structures that make a lot of money, they don't have to pay their taxes. How does that enforce us to want to pay our taxes or to follow the same guidelines that we're supposed to all follow? Though there's question about whether or not we should even be paying taxes, depending on your interpretation of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. But beyond that, you know, we're not playing by the rules, and we're wondering why we keep getting being put in, you know, time out. it's kind of silly. We're kind of cutting off our nose to spite our face in a lot of ways.
Right.
So, but anyway, I have work to do. I just wanted to call in and see if we could get some conversation on those topics, see if anybody has any great, wonderful ideas about how to go about affecting change, which I think this show is really about. And I'd just like to hear what other people have to say. Thank you very much. Great show tonight. Great suicide, as usual. And I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Thank you much. That's a great call. With anybody who like says nice things about me, I'm always going to agree with, right? But no, that's that, you know, it reminds me of a quote that I used to use a lot. And now I'm trying to look it up because I can't remember the exact wording of it. But it was from, I want to say it was Benjamin Franklin's grandson, somebody back in the early days of the Union, right? And it was a quote, something to the effect of, if somebody, you know, if you have a friend who just doesn't know anything about all that stuff, whatever it is, right? If he's just not interested in the governance, that you should shun him. I think, I want to say the quote was something along the lines of like, he should be beaten in the town square or something to that effect, right? That it is vitally important. In fact, the Constitution that everybody wants to talk about being a constitutionalist and whether or not we follow the Constitution, the very opening, right, is we the people in order to form a more perfect union, right? That we are the ones who are doing it. And when we turn it over to political parties and then allow those political parties to evolve to this point where we are looking at billionaires completely and totally finance candidates. And races, and I talked about that Alec last week, where corporations kind of get lobbyists together to make laws that can then just be kind of shuffled out city to city to city. See, they are organized. They are unionized in a sense. But it's because we, the people, are not aware of what's going on, not interested in what's going on. And I'm not talking about you. You're obviously sitting there driving around working, whether it's a cab or newspaper, or you're taking gasoline from one station to the other, or you're a news clerk, or whatever it is you're doing. I mean, you're obviously here, listening, talking about these things. It's your friends, your no-account friends and family members that we got to work on. So we got to keep pointing this stuff out. We got to keep trying to steer the conversation away from what Snooki, who's no longer like the person, I don't know who it is this week, Sarah Palin. I guess you do want to know what Sarah Palin was doing. I guess we don't care too much now. But it's sad to think that even somebody like Sarah Palin could be financed at this point, this late stage of the game. I think she could make a fair run at something. With enough financing by her, what do they call from the Roman, the patron, right? I mean, this is how the Roman Republic evolved into the empire. And it's this economic thing. I mean, ultimately, we just have to come to grips with that, and that's a part that is never going to be easy. But at some point, I think it's going to become inevitable that we look at the situation and go, okay, the way it's stacked up, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, however that works out. And we're going to have to address that. And we're going to have to sit at the table. And we're going to have to be able to talk it through without calling each other idiots. And we're going to have to explore your idea and adapt part of it and work together to build a consensus and to do all the things that people who feel strongly about their ideas are kind of against, but we still need them. I guess I'm telling you this because you're going to talk to your friends about the need to change some things, and they're going to tell you that the problem is we got to get rid of all these right-wing nuts, or they're going to tell you we got to get rid of all these left-wing socialists. And in reality, we have to do what we have always done as a human species, is incorporate all of those things and in some synergistic fashion. Synergy was this big business pop culture term in the 90s about, you know, the sum is greater than the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's the reality, right? Is even though I disagree with you and you disagree with him and we disagree, we still have to. This is how we have evolved. Is take these disparate parts and concerns and make them fit together for now until eventually that thing becomes more, you know, I've been watching this, you know, a caller, Mike, has often mentioned Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he's got this new show, Cosmos, that is, I think, a very good show, and it shows some great graphic representations of, you know, the science of, you know, everything. It's talking about the math and the geometry, and but it's imperative that we push forward. Oh, that's where I got into the cosmos. Sorry, I kind of lost my track there. But with what he was talking about in this cosmos was kind of showing like the development of the eye, and like it was like just this, like basically a filter that, like, oh, light, let me get away from the light because there's sun ray, you know, there's rays, but that eventually allowed over more time for there to be evolution that I'm getting stuck in trying to explain this, so I'll gather my thoughts while I take a call, which is probably not going to help. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
This is Big Dog.
What's
somewhere
going on, Big Dog?
The cosmos.
There it is. Now, do you have what your radio down?
What the heck was that?
Do you have your radio down?
Oh, man, dude, it's way down. It's not even on.
Okay, well, this is something in
it
the system.
It sounds like a Transformers
here
are coming across.
Yes,
the line.
It must be something in the system here, because maybe you've got some new headphones, so I wonder if there's a problem with that.
Well, I'm not sure, but that was really strange. The reason why I called is I'm beginning to notice a trend, and I don't know if I want to call it human evolution or tie it into humanism. But it's like I'm starting to notice a trend, as is to say, you know, we have an important document that starts out with "We the People." I notice a trend of a lot of different people saying, well, we got to come together with our ideas and do what's best. And that doesn't happen. we don't come together with our ideas and do what's best. We're too busy, i.e. demonizing the Tea Party or the Wall Streeters or Sarah Palin or Barack Obama or whatever. And we're too busy trying to look at things from our skewed point of vision without accepting those ideas outside the box. But see, here's the deal. If you're going to accept something that's, say, outside the box, and 10 years from that acceptance, things go totally awry, and you can only look back and say, you know what, 10 years ago, we shouldn't have accepted that as being out of the box, you know, and look what it's done to our economy, or look what it's done to we the people, how it's divided us, you know, and so we have to think along the lines critically of past 20 years, and not put, and I'll use this as an example, not put, you know, $60,000, $70,000 worth of debt on our grandchildren's backs before they even get to the point where they can work. So, I mean,
so
we
you're
have
talking
to really,
specifically again
if you
about
want,
healthcare,
as a nation,
right?
We really have to buckle down and reel in this big government and do our best to curtail our spending and to make good judgment calls on different issues, infrastructure-wise or whatever the case may be, where federal government does have control. You know, so I guess my diatribe is more along the lines of, you want some answers? We're too busy arguing about the problem before we even get to the answer.
Right.
And you see what I'm getting at? So
no, absolutely.
I'll be the first to admit I'm right. Pretty steadfast in my ways, but I do understand a few things about the economy and whatnot, and I still ask questions. I don't know. I'll stop and hear what you have to say, bud.
No, absolutely. But that's ultimately I guess the point is that we are still here, that we are still talking about it, that we are. But it's always been my call to us all here, right, is to share it with your friends, man, because you're listening and you're talking about this stuff however you come to the table, whatever, you know. And we have had as disparate a viewpoint as, you know, it was at the point that we became, you know, that we embraced agriculture, that's when we went off the track, right? We have had people with those viewpoints all the way up to people who, you know, whatever, various viewpoints. You sit down at the table, you sit here at this radio show, you listen to that guy call and disagree with him, or that host and disagree with him. But we're here and we're talking about it, and we as a group, you and me, the listener and the host, are engaging in this conversation. What's important is that you engage in that conversation with your friends and family, that this conversation spreads. Because I think, Big Dog, you're right that we get into the arguments of viewpoints or whatever, or the particulars of it, but that's the making sausage. You know what I mean? That's the conversation. That is the hard part, right? Is listening to you go off about something, misunderstand me, I misunderstand you, however it shakes down, but it is still digested because we have broken apart the ideas, right? We have taken our ideas, put them together, and maybe I didn't get you to see my point, or you didn't get me to see your point, but there are people who are listening, who are addressing, who are digesting this in their heads. And it's important that we spread that. I mean, I guess that's my reason for coming down here, right?
Well, yeah, and I get the analogy of, you know, planting that seed and you know, I guess maybe watering it and, you know, giving it nutrients and letting it grow. I understand that. As a matter of fact, that's biblical. But what I'm, I guess maybe some people, I'll use Micah for an example, when he's like, well, I hear these Republicans, but you never have any solutions. Well, the whole time that we've had this discussion about Obamacare, my solution has been to repeal it, delay it, do something. Don't mandate me to have to buy health insurance. That's totally against what I feel is constitutionally correct. You just don't force somebody into that, okay? So, but to repeal it or to delay it, well, it's been delayed. I mean, Obama's delayed both the both sections of the business side of it and the individual side of it. And I made the comment last week, you know, a king's not a king if he can't enforce his own law.
So
where's the solution? Well, you know, people talk about it, even in the suicide, that one-sixth of the economy is basically taken over by the federal government. That's not, if we're going to talk about reeling in a big government, that's not how we go about doing it. You know? So, anyway, I got to get off here. I'm about ready to, I've had some bronchial problems, so I'm about ready to cough my head.
Oh, okay. I thought you
cough my head off. So.
I'm about to blow a gasket. Yeah, I'm like, I haven't said anything. All right.
Yeah, take care, man. I'll let you go.
All righty.
Bye.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, we'll keep on having the conversation, and hopefully... it will, you know, that's my whole point is it takes time. And I don't know what that noise is, but KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Hi, this is Andy again. I just want to say as far as, I guess I'm just tired of hearing about Obamacare because of the fact this is something different. This is, I think, a big point in the direction of we're going to have to do something completely different than what we've been doing to make things right. And it's,
right.
I'm not opposed to it. I'm not all for it either. We kind of need to wait and see how this works. But I think it shows some tenacity on Obama's part to continue to push this forward and try and affect change on a huge level. This is a monumental thing for the American people. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but we're here we are outside the box thinking and doing things, and it's making everybody mad. It's not making everybody mad. It's making some people mad. But I think this is a good indicator of something that may, down the line, show great promise for everybody. So that's
right.
My two cents on that
subject. It may not.
Thank you.
And, really
and have a good night.
All right. Thanks. Now, it may and it may not. We don't know, and yeah, we'll have to wait and see. You know, Big Dog mentioned, you know, waiting 10 years and seeing that something's not working, but we haven't done that. We've not waited 10 months. You know, I mean, it just that's just the reality of it, and you know, I truly don't want to get sidetracked onto the Obamacare issue because that's fine. We're working that out in that sense. I guess I'm glad that the Republicans are fighting tooth and nail for that, but that we are ultimately able to see other places and we'll adapt. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
Michael T., this is Clayton. I'm calling from, I don't know, somewhere in South Overland Park.
What's happening, sir?
Hey, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about change, about things we need to do to change. And, you know, the thing is human nature in general will always take the path of least resistance. And that to me is kind of what the heart of the problem is. Because in order to change, we all have to step outside the box. You have to do things that we're afraid of and overcome things. And I really appreciate what there was a caller, I can't remember his name now, that was on before the suicide. We were talking about, you know, people that are like poor people or lesser disenfranchised peoples. You know, when he made the comment that, you know, it's about taking your pride back, not necessarily your pride and ownership of a property, but take just in general pride And I see that with a lot of people. I think a lot of people, they don't really know what even pride really is. And I think initially that's instilled as a child when you're growing up. I mean, you're influenced by your parents. If you grow up in an environment where, I'm going to try to maybe take a worst case scenario, and, your parents are, doing crack. They don't care whether or not you go to school. They don't care whether or not you bathe. All these different things. Well, you're going to grow up thinking that that's just the way life is.
Right. It's certainly not going to have a high value of education.
Exactly. And then you will probably start to dislike people that are opposite from you, that are educated, that do have money, that don't do drugs, or, they live a more positive path in life, I guess you could refer to that.
Strong, high and mighty, want to be sober when you go to work. Got a job and everything.
But so it's like, you'd made the comment earlier about the two teenage girls at the barbershop with their, two boys each. And, you got to wonder, how are these kids going to grow up? And how are they going to turn out if they don't have proper parenting skills? And it's like, how do you interject into these kind of situations? You can't, go up to people and say, hey, you need to be a better parent to your kids. Well, that just creates, that person is obviously not going to like you. They're going to say something.
Right.
To you.
So how do you break into that? That's the hard part.
And that to me is part of the vicious cycle that a lot of, especially I'll just say poor people. I'm not trying to stereotype, but how do you break that cycle? How is it do you instill into people that there is a better way of life, and that if you push yourself and you focus, you can elevate your station in life, and that's kind of what I refer back to. People will take the path of least resistance because, it's easier to, remain a heroin addict, sleeping on the street corners as opposed to, somebody, trying to go out and elevate yourself, whether it's getting an education or a better job or even just getting yourself sober. It really does boil down to a personal choice, I think, with a lot of people. But then it even goes even further than that. That's the thing is, how can we as humanity as a whole get everybody onto that same page as, choosing a better path, I guess you could say, and instilling better morals and values? And then once everybody's on that pathway, then all of us coming together to figure out how to really change what is wrong with our society. It's a very deep, deep problem and issue that, I unfortunately don't have a lot of the answers, but I do definitely agree that it is very much a personal choice to, especially as you're getting older, and maybe you are that person that has, two kids that you can't really take care of and you are poor, you have these problems, where do you go other than just to live the life that you're normally living because everybody else is doing the same thing? I don't know. Am I making sense, Michael?
No, you are. It's hard to see where the person is going to make that decision because they grew up in that situation. If you grew up in a single parent, and this is where, the claim has some merit that, the welfare system has ruined America because there's all these people that have had things given to them or whatever. And so that is the mindset that they have is that, I just need to be taken care of. But there's more to it. And you might call it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. You might call it a social illness that's there, and then we get into the whole conversation about, religion and how we have handled the de-religifying of America, if you want to call it that. I'm not against rolling back. I don't think we need to have our laws in our cities and states, and in our federal even, based on God's law. That is necessary for us to legislate people that way. However, the way that we are going about undoing it is in such a disrespectful way. Well, but I mean, even like the, and maybe it's because everything has to happen violently, not physically violent, but like in even in the way that we think, like we can't just go like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so like, you know, run everything by religion. Rather, we have people who are like, I'm sick and tired of people with religion trying to tell me what to do. I want to outlaw this, outlaw that, and I hate this. And so they like are like really strongly against religion and calling anyone who believes stupid. Well, that doesn't help the situation, in my opinion. Right? You know, that begins to just create heat where there doesn't need to be heat.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
I don't know. And the same thing with this is like, you know, how do we talk to somebody whose grandmother, right, was on social assistance, their mother was on social assistance. Now they are on social assistance with children. How do you tell them that the problem is social assistance? And how do you take away social assistance?
Well, see, unfortunately, that's part. I mean, what do they refer to that as, the entitlement mentality?
Right.
I think. That's one of the problems. Is how do you tell somebody that they, you know. And also, too, I mean, it kind of boils down to sometimes, too, whether or not somebody is physically capable of performing a job to get them off of social assistance. I mean, you could be somebody in a wheelchair that really needs it. But yeah, I mean, when you bring that up, it's like, I don't really have a good answer for that. I mean, how do you, you know, basically take somebody off the government bottle, so to speak? You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, unfortunately, to me, or up to me, it would be a Band-Aid solution. You just start ripping it off, or, you know, rip that Band-Aid off, and you know, people just don't get it anymore, and they almost have to start fending for themselves. I mean, there has to be a way to change it. Really, you slowly wean people off. I'm not for sure.
Right. And that may be, I mean, you know, it may very well be that you have to rip the Band-Aid off and just say, okay, we're not funding this anymore, right? Now, what's that? You know, Section 8, we're not going to fund housing anymore.
I mean, I can see, like, you know, if you're an elderly person on some sort of social assistance that's of retirement age, you know, I wouldn't want to take somebody's benefits like that away from them.
Right. No. We'll assume that you're not trying to be the bad guy. So you're talking about the 35-year-old guy or woman who could do something if she or he would not be, like, crippled by the notion that, well, at the very least, I can get, you know, $1,000 a month from the government, and that will, you know, provide a little wind under my sails. And then I can try and generate the rest and survive. It's not, you know, making plans to own a home and have kids that go off to college and own my own business, but it is survival. How do you get that? You know, you want to rip that Band-Aid. I understand that, but then you got the question. That's that moment of faith, I guess, really, because the question that I come to mind is like, okay, now what are we going to do with, like, all these millions of people who we've suddenly said we're not going to help out?
Right. I mean, then all of a sudden you're going to get people crying that they're hungry and they're homeless and, you know, all these other different problems that they have that, you know, they've been able to get by on the government assistance.
And now it's gone.
I can't remember, there was a radio program I listened to, I don't know, it's been a while ago, but there was a gentleman who created a not-for-profit organization for people who were basically homeless, but still could have a job. But what it did was they converted an old building, I can't remember, maybe it was like an some sort of old building that wouldn't be in used anymore. I know there's several of them around Kansas City.
But what did they do
They converted this building into living quarters for people that signed up into this program. And basically what the program was, they had to set up a savings account, and they had to provide proof of the savings account every month that they're, you know, the money that they're making at their job.
We will help you, but you got to be helping yourself.
Yeah, I mean, so basically they could eventually get to the point where they could either, you know, put a first month's, last month's rent payment down and these kind of things. So, I mean, and I thought that was a great idea.
And hopefully by that time they've got some established habits of saving and spending. So that sounds like a good idea. I'd like to see how something like that turned out, because that's the kind of thing that would show that, you know,
yeah,
here's another way.
I wish I could remember what the name of that organization was now, right?
But that helps. That helps, my friend. Hey, I'm going
to
let you go because I got time for one more call, and then I'm out of here.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy. Thanks, sir.
Later.
All right, and we have one more, probably last call. What's going on? What's your name? What part of town are you calling from? Hello? Did I just hang up on the one that was... Hello? Okay. Oh. There we are. So I did it. It was all my fault. I will accept all blame and will now try to rectify or to make myself back on the hole by putting you on the air. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
How's it going? This is Vic. I'm calling back. I'm glad everybody felt my conversation earlier.
There you have it, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I just want to speak a little bit further on the whole idea.
Okay.
I was thinking the idea that I was basically playing with in my mind was having ownership of your destiny or
right.
your feeling of opportunity. And that's something that we have to develop like a campaign for if we all come together on the same mindset and do it. Because, I mean, I know you can think back. You're old enough to remember back when cigarettes were considered to be a great thing.
Right.
They were considered to be cool and whatnot. Now, cigarettes, you smoke cigarettes, you look like a pariah.
Right.
That was a campaign. I can see the evolution of it, how it came to be.
No, absolutely.
That same philosophy can be put towards developing a different mindset in society of having ownership of your own success, of your own future.
But to an extent, don't you see that that is happening?
It's happening on a small scale, but it's not being done as a whole community type effort. I mean, everybody has to be involved. We have to have, like, the successful members of society involved. We have to have teachers involved. We have to have even the religious community, even though I'm not a religious person,
right.
but they play a role. Everyone has to be on board because everyone has to look at each other as brothers and family members.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to work.
I think that it is happening, Vic. It's something that it's a slow process. It takes.
And that's it. That's it.
And this is part of it. And you putting that out there is part of it, and I think it will just continue that way, that we will see some improvement on that way of looking at things. Because I think that that more and more people do have at least an acknowledgement of some of the stuff that you talked about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
because your last caller, not to cut you off, but your last caller, he spoke a lot to what I was thinking about when you have somebody who's feeling the desperation of being in a poor economic situation. And a lot of people grow up seeing that all their lives, so it's hard for them to look forward and see a positive outcome for themselves.
Right.
But if we have a culture that is developed around everyone, that success can be yours as well, and you can see it as something real in your life and not just like something that's going to be for the people on that side of the tracks or that part of town. You see it as, yes, this is something for me too. And you will have a pride in yourself because you'll be like, I know my future is it's going to be bright.
Right. And it's the small changes that, that can make big differences, and it's also the ones that can get you in a lot of trouble. And I can get in trouble just for even mentioning the idea that, you know, we talk about estate taxes and death taxes or whatever you want to call it, but the mere notion that, you know, we know that if you – what's the line in that song? Where you end usually depends on where you start.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It makes so much of a difference that as a systemic change, and I'm not – well, I'll just throw it out there. How you work it out is how you work it out. I mean, that's the hard part,
well,
right? But,
well,
but to get away from a place where that is how it ends.
I'm going to look at themselves. Sounds like your system is going crazy over
there.
Yeah,
it is, man. I apologize.
It's okay. But I was thinking a lot of it is the mindset of the people that have and the people that have not. I mean, we as Americans are, I guess, as a society as a whole, we all have a selfish mentality.
Right.
We're not thinking about our fellow man. We're thinking about our own success.
Right, and that's why I was talking about the social ill that we have.
Which is killing us because our own success could be so much greater if we thought about our fellow man.
Right. I'm with you there. Hey, let me let this last caller get a word in before I got to cut them off, too.
No problem. Have
All right. You
night.
Have a good one. Thank you, sir. All right. And you are on the air, caller?
Yes, my name is Dave. I live up north of the river.
Oh, sorry. Dave, go
ahead. I got you hung up on by accident, so.
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey, listen, a couple things. Number one, I think that it's just my humble opinion, that's all. But I think when the government got involved with education, that's when the country really started to fall. And the only reason I say that is because it got the parents away from the kids, or vice versa. And
when do you mean the government getting involved?
I think the government has no business being...
No, when do you mean when the government got involved?
Back in the 30s, when they started public education.
Huh.
Number one, we don't teach Latin. We don't teach grammar.
I would love to explore that. Unfortunately, I do have to go because if I don't, then they won't let me come back. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I want you back.
All right. Well, I do appreciate it, and we'll get back with this. Call early because I'd like to go into that.
I'll call you next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
I really would like to explore that because that is, well, it's near and dear to me because I think that's another one of those linchpin spots. All right, Kansas City, got to go. You are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City.
Spring break for the homeless.
Radio.
Saturday, April 19th at the Scottish Rite Temple, 1330 East Limwood, KCMO. They need clothes, hygiene products, cash, and potluck dishes on the day of the event. To donate or volunteer, check out copinc.com. That's copinc.com.
Attention, local musicians. If you play rock, jazz, folk, bluegrass, hip hop, Americana, reggae, world music, or blues like DC Bellamy here in the background, consider signing up your solo act or your band to the KKFI Band Auction this April. We will showcase your music for 30 minutes on our 100,000-watt radio station in exchange for a donation of a 2-hour gig to the KKFI Band Auction. Intrigued? Call Bill at 816-994-7869. That's 816-994-7869.
Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The National Labor Relations Board wrapped up 3 days of hearings this week on a complaint against Mercedes-Benz. Workers there charged that Mercedes interfered with a UAW organizing drive by preventing workers from freely talking with co-workers about the union. Mercedes denies it and says it's neutral in the UAW organizing drive. The issue involves restrictions on union talk.